Let's ask God's blessing on his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you, Lord, for the work of your spirit in the heart and life of the Apostle Paul. We thank you for this second letter to Timothy that encourages us to persevere, to remain committed and faithful to the gospel. We pray, Lord, that tonight, through your spirit, we'll be encouraged to persevere, to remain faithful, to endure all things, because of the glorious truth of who Jesus is and what he's done. And we ask it in his name. Amen. Endurance. The ability to endure an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving way. There are many examples of endurance around us. There's minor examples, like me, enduring ringing up a particular company, trying to get some customer service out of them, and them trying to avoid returning my phone calls, trying to leave me hanging. Is it under warranty? Is it not under warranty? Me trying not to give in or give up, but consistently phoning them until I have an answer. That's a minor example of endurance. But there are far more amazing examples of endurance all around us. Like a mother who takes care of a disabled child for years and years and years after a more able child would have become independent and left home. Or like a single or married child looking after their aged parent or parents. There comes a stage when some aging parents need as much care as a newborn baby, but without the cuteness. Or like the elderly, who have to physically endure the changes in their bodies, which have now become a burden. The bodies that once carried them around and allowed them to achieve so much cause them now pain and makes it far more difficult for them to get around, to hear, to see, to go to the toilet. And then there's always the mental endurance they have to exercise as they adapt to these changes, which continue to limit them day after day. We may know some of these people, and we may admire them for their example of endurance in difficult situations. The Apostle Paul wants Timothy to endure in the Christian life and to endure in the Christian ministry. That's why he gave him examples of people who were tough, people who persevered, people who were committed to their goals, like the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer. Paul reminded Timothy that the Christian life is hard and tough, and that the Christian is called to endure hardship and suffering for the sake of the gospel. Who do we go to encourage us to endure? Who do we look to as an example of endurance? Well, the Apostle Paul places before us the best example of endurance, and that is Jesus. Because he is actually the reason for us to endure. In verses 1 to 10. The only person who can keep us faithful in the Christian life and in the Christian ministry is Jesus. It is by focusing and meditating on him who is the gospel that will enable you and me to endure. That's why Paul says in chapter 2, verse 8 to Timothy, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. Throughout this letter so far, Paul has mentioned Jesus, but he's used a particular phrase. Normally it's been Christ Jesus. Here he's now using the phrase Jesus Christ. Some think that when he emphasises Jesus' messiahship, Jesus as the ascended Lord, he uses the phrase Christ Jesus, reminding us that he rules over all things and may even indicate his divinity. But when Paul uses the form Jesus Christ, not Christ Jesus, he may be emphasising his humanity, his weakness, therefore reminding Timothy and us that God works through weakness. What the world sees as weakness is actually strength. What the world sees as foolishness is actually wisdom. And Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. And what better time to remind Timothy than when Paul himself is in prison and in chain for the gospel? God works through weakness and suffering. Where the world sees defeat in the cross, we see victory. Because that victory was displayed for us in his resurrection. It is Jesus' resurrection that promises and guarantees our own resurrection. And that's why when Paul started his letter to Timothy, he said that he had been made an apostle in keeping with the promise of life. Even in the face of death, life is promised, because the one who promised life is the one who's been raised from the dead. That was Paul's hope in the face of death. That's our hope in the face of trials. Remember Jesus Christ. He has been raised from the dead, but he's also a descendant of David. Why does Paul mention that? I believe he mentions that to remind us that God is a God who keeps his promises. Because he promised David that one day one of his descendants would sit on the throne and rule over a kingdom that would last forever. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 11 to 13. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Jesus is establishing God's house, not with bricks and mortar, but by people. Jesus today is seated at the right hand of God, enthroned over all things, and he rules a kingdom that will never end. That is Paul's gospel. Do you find it hard to endure? Then Paul says, remember Jesus Christ. Remember that God works through weakness and suffering. But there is a resurrection and there is a rule, because Jesus was resurrected and he rules. It is this Jesus that has been raised from the dead that has empowered Paul to endure suffering for his namesake and for the gospel. Jesus is the one who is victorious. Jesus is the one who reigns. And therefore, even if we are in prison, we don't focus on our chains, we focus on Jesus. That is Paul's gospel. Verse 9, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Paul at this time is in prison and he's considered a criminal. That Greek word is the same word used of the two men that were crucified with Jesus. This is not Acts 28. This is a totally different time. Paul is now considered an enemy of the state. Christianity is condemned. Is there a future for the gospel? Timothy might be thinking. Maybe the Christians might be thinking. Will it survive the might of the Roman Empire? And you might say, well, it did, didn't it? Why do you even raise it? Because we at times can become discouraged and wonder if the gospel is still the power of God. Especially when we're going through issues of difficulties and trial. When we are so consumed by our own difficulty, by our own suffering, by our own pain. Paul still says to us, remember Jesus Christ. When we look around us and we see the world abandoning God and his word, we see the world becoming more and more godless. Do we believe that the gospel is the power of God? Whatever it may appear in the West, God is still at work. Paul reminds us that this is God's gospel. This is God's word, and nothing and no one can stop it. That's why he says at the end of verse 9, but God's word is not chained. No matter what appearances you may see, God's word will continue to go forth. Albania in 1967 declared itself the first totally atheistic country. Article 37 of the Albanian Constitution of 1976 stipulated, the state recognises no religion and supports atheistic propaganda in order to implant a scientific, materialistic world outlook in people. In fact, in Albania, religious names were banned. You could not give your child a religious name. And if you had a religious name, you had to change it. Today, according to Operation World, Christians make up about 30% of the population. And there is more than 160 evangelical congregations connected and represented by the Albanian Evangelical Alliance. God's word is not chained. Remember Jesus Christ. He was resurrected. He rules. We proclaim a Jesus who has defeated death. A Jesus who has all authority in heaven and on earth. God's word can't be chained. That's why Paul is willing to suffer. Why Christians for the last 2,000 years have been willing to suffer. And that's why Christians who believe in the resurrected Jesus will continue to suffer, because Jesus is alive. Jesus has defeated death. Jesus rules, and that is Paul's gospel. And it's out of this that Paul says in verse 10, therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. That's an amazing statement. How can Paul's endurance work towards the salvation of God's chosen people? One thing I want to get rid of straight away is the idea that somehow Paul's suffering has some merit that can be applied to God's people. As if what he's suffering can actually achieve the salvation of God's people. I don't believe that he is indicating us in that direction. He is not teaching that even our suffering has any redemptive qualities in relation to other people. Because Jesus alone saves, and nothing and no one can add to the work of Jesus' work of salvation. It is perfect, it is complete, and he said it is finished on the cross. See, Paul's emphasis in that verse is on his endurance. I endure everything for the sake of God's elect. Both God's people then and now and in the future, he's saying, will be encouraged and strengthened by his endurance. In fact, their salvation, yes, will be helped by his example of endurance. Because his endurance displays his commitment to the truth of the gospel that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. And his endurance would and is an encouragement that the gospel is worth suffering for, that the gospel is worthy of being proclaimed and promoted so that others can also be saved, no matter the cost. Paul understood that his life was in service of both Christ and his people. Everything he did, everything he suffered was so that he could further the faith of God's elect, then, now, and into the future. And we must never underestimate the value of people seeing God's people suffer for Christ and for his gospel, because through that, people themselves have been turned to Christ. In some ways, Paul's life has laid a foundation for Christian endurance and courage in the face of persecution and death. He remembered Jesus Christ. He knew why he was suffering, and he knew why he was enduring, and it was worth it. When I entered the Presbyterian ministry, I was invited to join a retreat group. The retreat groups are there to encourage and help ministers remain in the ministry in the long haul. One of the benefits of being part of the retreat group was to hear the stories of the other blokes and how God had worked in their life, how they'd become Christians, how God had worked in their ministry. The one thing that I enjoyed and was encouraged was this was the moment where all of us were extremely honest. These men shared the good times and the bad times, the successes, the failures, the encouragements, the discouragements that they had experienced. One man stands out for me. I'll call him Ray. He was the oldest member of the group. He was not very good with ages, but at least late 70s, early 80s. He talked about the time when he was in the Presbyterian Church, when he stood before his presbytery applying to be a candidate for the ministry. He was an evangelical. He had gone to Sydney Missionary and Bible College. This was the late 50s, early 60s. His presbytery was made up of men who were theologically liberal and despised evangelicalism. Also, these men were Masons who ruled the church as if it was the lodge. If you weren't a Mason, you weren't in. And Ray was not a Mason. Ray stood for the gospel at a time when holding his understanding of the gospel was ridiculed. Ray endured decades of being in the minority, but he faithfully preached the gospel that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I was convicted as I heard his story about my own arrogance in thinking that these men didn't know anything about the gospel. All they knew was about Presbyterian traditions. Ray had endured so much so that I could inherit a church where I would not be ridiculed for believing that Jesus died for my sins and rose again for my justifications. Ray, like the Apostle Paul, was an example of endurance that both convicted me and challenged me to be faithful to the gospel. We must never forget his example. We must never forget Paul's example, or the example of others, be it Samuel Rutherford, John Bunyan, that have followed Paul as he has followed Christ, who is our ultimate example. These men encourage us, but it's Jesus who empowers us to endure. Paul wants to encourage us to endure. He does it by telling us that there is something to look forward to through all the suffering and the pain, that we should persevere and look forward to this. But he also warns us that if we're ashamed of the Lord Jesus and his gospel, that there are consequences. In verses 11 to 13. Paul now wants to summarise this whole section. He's talked about perseverance and commitment and faithfulness and endurance. He wants Timothy to grasp it and us to grasp it. And he does this by introducing it with a phrase, here is a trustworthy or faithful saying in verse 11. So what does he mean by this phrase? Well, it could be trustworthy or faithful in the sense that it comes from an apostle of the Lord Jesus. It could be faithful or trustworthy because it maybe was a saying going around the early church. It could be faithful or truthful in the sense that it was in contrast to the false teachers. Or it could simply just be self-evident in accordance with God's word, or a combination of all of them. But he's emphasizing. What the saying does is states the consequences of faithfulness and unfaithfulness. Firstly, Paul encourages us that if we do remain loyal to Christ, right to the end, we gain life. If we died with him, we will also live with him. Paul is saying that if we have through faith died with Christ, therefore died to our sin, died to self, died to Satan, died to the world, then we will live with Christ. We live now. But he could also be saying that if we die, as Christ died, if we're called to die for the sake of the gospel, then as Christ lived, we will also live. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead. And Paul is echoing Jesus' words in Matthew 10, 38 to 39. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. An encouragement to endure. You never lose. You gain life. If we endure to the end, the promise is that we will reign also with Christ. If we endure in verse 12, we will also reign with him. Echoing Jesus' words in Matthew 10, 22, you will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. In Matthew 19, 28, truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, just judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So as Jesus died and rose again, so if we die, we rise again. If we endure as Jesus endured, the shame, the scorn, the suffering, so as he reigns, so we will reign with him. These promises are to encourage us to remain faithful to the gospel. These promises emphasize the truth of the gospel that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and rules today. Doesn't matter if you are in prison, doesn't matter if you're facing death, you will live and you will reign with him. But there are consequences if you turn away. There are consequences if you are ashamed of the gospel. Not if you fall away and in time repent and return. What Paul is saying here is that if you desert the one who has called you to service, if you forsake the gospel, if you never return, this is the consequence. If we disown him, he will also disown us. And that echoes Jesus' words in Matthew 10, verse 33. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Demas disowned him, loving the world. Judas disowned him by betraying Christ. Even in the Christian life, you and I have seen people who may have started well, but have not finished. Who have walked away from Jesus, who may have proven to be unfaithful to Jesus. But we are reminded that no matter how unfaithful people may be, the people we experience, Jesus himself is faithful. In verse 13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. We cannot disown himself. Jesus' gospel is not changed. His gospel will not be destroyed by the faithlessness or the sinfulness of human beings. The gospel will go out. The gospel will achieve his purposes in the life of his elect people as his people continue to endure for him. People may deny that they are Christian, but God cannot deny who he is. People who claim to be Christians may become unfaithful to the gospel, but God is faithful to himself and to his word. Our God took on flesh and became a man and died for sinners so that we could enjoy him forever. He will not deny himself. Christians are called to endure and persevere for the sake of the gospel. For Christ's sake, and for the sake of God's people. It is only those who finish their tour of duty, only those who have finished the race, who will receive what has been promised by the gospel of Jesus Christ. People endure many situations, but it is only Christians who endure for Jesus. And Paul reminds us, remember Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ alone enables us, empowers us to endure. Because he has been raised from the dead and he rules today over all things. And that is the gospel that we are willing to suffer and endure for. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this call to endurance. We thank you for the reminder that our endurance can only be found in Jesus Christ. Lord, whatever we may be going through personally, whatever we may have to face in this world, help us to keep looking to Jesus, remembering Jesus, that in weakness is your strength and victory. No matter what may be happening, even in our own lives or in this world, your word is not chained. It will accomplish your purposes. So enable us to continue to remember Jesus Christ. We ask it in his name. Amen.